Thanks, Bob. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Craig. Hello, everybody. Honor and privilege to be here this Monday night with you. And we're going over Tradition 12. And so we'll start with the short form. I was in Alabama this weekend, and I had the opportunity to share my experience, Southern Hope, my family. We all kind of went there and spoke together. And you know, it was well-intentioned. You know, the guy was a good guy, but it was just, there's this whole workshop on relationships and the 12 traditions. And the whole workshop was turning the 12 traditions that are made for group survival, for communication through the world about us and with the general service structure, and we were turning it into being autonomous with our wives and being self-supporting with our family. And like, there's no way to talk about this stuff because the guy had a heart of gold. The guy was like, he was really helpful. Some things he was talking about was great, but it's just not what the traditions are for. And we have a hard enough time in this organization having a conversation about what the traditions are to begin with before we go putting our own spin on them. And I always say this, like, of course, if you could use any spiritual principle to better your relationship or your job or how you behave in your neighborhood, absolutely use it. But we shouldn't be teaching it from a podium. That's not what they're designed to do. So we're always trying to find ways to be relevant rather than just be a worker among workers, you know, which in itself is the tradition and actually, surprise, has everything to do with Tradition 12. So while you thought I was in a soapbox going off on a rant, I'm actually on topic. This has everything to do with principles before personalities. And remember, it says principles before personalities, not instead of personalities. We're glad that you have your particular personality, your particular upbringing, your particular story, your group's particular personality. Like, we would never want to get rid of that. But the principle comes before. Short form of Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Straightforward. And the anonymity we're talking about in Tradition 12, in my experience, is very similar to 11, but a little different in the sense that it's really more about that idea of sacrifice, that idea of humility. I always use this very basic, elementary example. You know, because it talks all through our book. Remember, service and recovery are not separate. It talks all through our book about trying to be in the likeness of our Creator. And if you buy that, my higher power has never came down, banged on the door, called me up, sent me a text, shot me an email telling me how much he's done for me. I wouldn't be anywhere without him. If he didn't listen to me, I'd be screwed. So it's kind of, I mean, that's the extreme, right? But that's kind of the point of Tradition 12, where we're really encompassing all the prior traditions and really understanding about laying aside that personal ambition, being a part of the informed group consciousness in the group, being okay with just being alcoholic, not needing to be terminally unique and 1,000 other different things and 12 million other distractions, and sticking to our primary purpose and not lending our name. And, you know, all of the things we've gone through over the past 12, 13 weeks is all encompassed in the idea of putting a principle before a personality. The long form says, and finally, wonder why, and finally. And finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities. that we are to actually practice a genuine humility. This to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live thankful contemplation of him who presides over us all. When we talk about principles before personalities, what does that mean? Well, it means that tradition one should guide us versus Craig guiding us. It means tradition two should guide us versus just Bob guiding us. Of course, we have roles of leadership and stuff, but we really want these 12 points of our experience, of our shared experience, to kind of put us in the best possible, most effective way to help carry the message of the 12 steps. There's so many, and that's why I led with my story tonight. I mean, I think I haven't kept tally, and maybe I should, but I think there is just as much harm done in AA by good intentions as there is in, you know, malignant, intentional defiance. In fact, if I had to bet, there might even be just a little more from good intention, because most people are not really walking around saying, you know, screw this organization that saved my life. They're just kind of doing what we all do, sticking to our ideals of arrogance. And that's a sarcastic comment, by the way. And so it's just that's what we see. These good intentions get in the way of who we are. Listen. I am all for AA. If you haven't noticed that over these past couple of weeks, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I give all of my life to Alcoholics Anonymous. Everyone that knows me knows how important AA is. I've been here for a while. I understand our history. I've been in several different roles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I need rotation more than anyone else. I need to hear your experience more than anyone else. And maybe I shouldn't say more than anyone else, because again, that's kind of terminally unique, right? But I'm really trying to illustrate, we inherently as human beings have this idea that because someone knows something or whatever, that they're not susceptible to alcoholism. And we all are susceptible to alcoholism. We all suffer from the same illness. We all need the same principles. And it's what keeps us together. Again, it's the equality. Most of us know clearly that gossiping is putting a personality before a principle. Most of us know that, you know, voting someone in at the home group based on popularity is, you know, those are easy examples of, you know, personality issues. I always like to talk about the ones we don't talk about much. And the example I use all the time is, I know there's someone on this group right here that does a lot of work reading about AA, loves AA, tries to do everything they can, works their step really hard, reads in between meetings, blah, 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 blah. But if we were to have a business meeting right now and we were to ask that person to share all of their insecurity and self-doubt, they would be worrying about, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to think I'm not good enough? I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm wrong. Am I allowed to share right now? Do I know enough? And I'm just pointing out that that's another example of how we violate Tradition 12. We don't violate Tradition 12 just by gossiping or just by picking people for popularity. We also violate it by being worried about what people are going to think versus the principle of participation, the principle of responsibility, the principle of rotation, the principle of information, informed group conscience, etc. We all have a small part of a huge piece necessary of a great whole, as we've talked about. And when we don't fall within those principles, then we don't get to grow to the best of our ability. Anytime there's one piece missing, it's a blind spot. Tradition 12 and A comes of age, which starts on page 131. And remember, last week we were talking about being an active guardian. of these 12 traditions. And that phrase is mostly guided in most of our literature with respects to trusted servants, specifically the trustees of the General Service Board, but doesn't mean it doesn't apply to elected officers at the group or officers at the district or whatever. But we should be a guardian. It's very hard to be a guardian if we don't know what these are. So it's important we learn what these are. It says in here, vital principle. In my belief, the entire future of our fellowship hangs upon this vital principle. If we continue to be filled with the spirit and practice of anonymity, no shoal or reef can wreck us. If we forget this principle, the lid to Pandora's box will be off and the spirits of money, power, and prestige will be loosed among us. I'm not sure you could tell me about one schism in Alcoholics Anonymous where this principle is clearly not being practiced. Ego, the need to be right, the need to control, defiance, arrogance, all of these things that my sponsor used to say, it's not old behavior if you're still doing it. You know, because we like to say old behavior, but you're still doing it. And it's just so funny how we can get on a podium at the Tuesday night group where we can sit in the big book meeting, go around the table and share so eloquently about how these are our flaws. And if we don't treat these flaws, then we're in trouble. But we forget that when we're inside a group business meeting. Those same flaws still exist. Selfish, self-seeking, fear-based, etc. Bill says no AA principle merits more study and application than this one. I am positive that AA's anonymity is the key to long-time survival. I prefer the words inform and apply versus study and application, but same thing. Inform and apply. Anonymity, equality, connection, unity, all common words through the whole journey we've taken for the past several weeks here. On page 132 in the first full paragraph, it says, the spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. Because AA's 12 traditions repeatedly ask us to give up personal desires for the common good, we realize that the sacrificial spirit, well symbolized by anonymity, is the foundation of all these traditions. It is AA's proved willingness to make these sacrifices that give people high confidence in our future. Now remember, there's many different versions of sacrifice. There's sacrificing your time. There's sacrificing your money. But what I really hear when we talk about Tradition 12 is sacrificing the need to be right, sacrificing the need to control, sacrificing the ego. That's what I think is the real sacrifice when it comes to anonymity, especially with respect to the 12 tradition. What do we mean by anonymity? And Brooke, I'm sorry, I didn't check in with you. Do we have any questions hung over or that have come in? No, okay. So what do we mean by anonymity? Because yes, Tradition 11 and Tradition 12, in my experience and my understanding, is they're both discussing anonymity, but they're two different versions of anonymity. But at the same time, it's the same bucket, right? It's the same exact thing we're talking about. We're talking about humility. We're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about letting the AA message guide our conversations. We're talking about the AA way of life to lead our group conscience. We're talking about those things. And then Craig might be a vessel tonight on Monday. You know, Bob might be on Tuesday, D on Wednesday, Brooke on Thursday, whatever. But we are all part of the same vessel, same unified structure, entity, holding each other accountable, working with each other, not being separate, connecting. It's so funny, some things to me, because does anyone know the name of our big book? I mean, I know you do. And what's the second word? Anonymous. But yet we still have so many discrepancies over what anonymity is. It's baffling. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. But we are still unsure about what that means or whether or not if we need to practice that. There's so many distractions. You could take a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, keep them in AA, not even go into the worlds of movies and publicity or any of that. Just give him or her too much power in AA and watch how things start to fall apart. For me, in my personal sobriety, my recovery, I'm going towards God or a drink. So if you get me drunk on power, or you allow me to believe I'm powerful, or of course I self-declare that I'm powerful, I'm in a danger zone with respects to my alcoholism. When the Big Book appeared in 1939, this is on page 132, we called it Alcoholics Anonymous. Its original foreword made this revealing statement. It is important we remain anonymous because we are too few at present to handle the overwhelming number of personal appeals which may result from this publication. Skipping to the next paragraph on purpose. As the AA groups multiplied, so did anonymity problems. Excited over the spectacular recovery of a brother alcoholic, we would sometimes discuss intimate and harrowing aspects of his case that had been meant for his sponsor's ear alone. I think I've shared this. I don't know if I shared it during this week, but there was a Grapevine article from, I don't know, oh man, what is it now? Maybe 10 years ago. And this has everything to do with this tradition. Let me just declare myself, and you can decide if you've been in this. I have been so full of myself as a sponsor when I was new to sponsorship. I really thought people got sober because of me and people got drunk because of me. I really thought I had the power to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, my head was so big. And this is why those chapters after working with others are so important, such as the family afterward, where it talks about spiritual intoxication and stuff of that sort. This idea of hierarchy, and I'm in charge of all my sponsees. So there was an article, a Grapevine article, about 10 years ago, and it was a woman, and she had just got done listening to the fifth step of one of her sponsees. And they were done, and they went out to the diner, and she had a bunch of her other sponsees with her. And she started to share some of those sacred things with the other sponsees. And even started to sort of poke fun a little. The interesting thing about the article is in the next booth at the diner was the woman's husband. So that woman never came back to AA, and that woman's husband experience with Alcoholics Anonymous was a sacred role such as sponsor, took information and shared it with everybody. We are sick. We are sick. I know I'm not the warm and fuzzy. We already know that. I like to talk about what we're not doing. I like to talk about what we can do better. You already know that AA has the power to save a life. It saved yours. You've already seen it help the person next to you in your home group. We already know that. But I want to talk about what we need to do better. And this tradition kind of covers a lot of that. In that paragraph I was just reading, I say clearly each AA member's name and his story too had to be kept confidential if he wished it to be. This was our first lesson in the practical application of anonymity. Again, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. You can research that and experience that yourself. You can talk about that with your sponsor, your service sponsor. But what I would like to do is inspire discussion. So when we go to the local group, I don't know, on a Friday night, and there's 150 people, it's a speaker meeting, maybe a double speaker meeting, and Joe and Debbie share their experience, strength, and hope, and then we talk about it at the diner. Or we go to the next group Saturday morning and we talk about what Debbie just said. Is that or is that not appropriate? Is it really okay for me to share what Debbie just shared or what Joe just shared? The only thing I can come up with is it's okay for me to say, I heard one member share. I heard this member share their experience on that. I think it's a good discussion. You want to know why? Because it's hard. So easy for me to be like, oh, we know each other. We're all in AA. But that's someone's story. I'm going to tell you another unfuzzy one. And you'd be surprised. I'm actually shocked, to be honest with you, when I look at my experience that I've been asked to speak so many times. Because when people call me up to speak, I give them every reason to never call me back again. I'm going to give you an example. I got called by a committee and they said, hey, we would like to hear your recording. And I'm like, what? Yeah, we would like to hear your recording. And I said, recording of what? Well, have you ever been recorded? Yes, of course I have. Okay, you spoke a lot, right? So can we hear your recording? No, you can't hear my recording. I'm not interested in sending you my story so you can let me know if I'm good enough for your convention. Just not interested in that. Oh, but Craig, how are we supposed to know if they'll carry a message or this or that? I don't know. Figure it out. And again, I'm not even saying you can't ask that. I just felt very uncomfortable that you need it. I already know my story is good enough to share in AA because I know yours is. And I understand because I've chaired several conventions. I understand we want to know who we're going to put in front of 1,000 people. I do get that. But doesn't that breed more of the local and the reference? Anyway, doesn't that breed more of understanding? Maybe I would have been honored if you asked me to submit a service resume, but asking to hear my story on CD to decide whether or not I sound good enough for your convention, I said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. On the other side of things, I spoke at the International Convention of Young People in AA in 2000. I should know this because we were on my honeymoon. So it would be, let's see. Oh my God, my wife's going to kill me. This is recorded. 2016, I think it was. Maybe it was 15. No, it was 16. 2016. And the following year, Icky Paw had called me up again and asked me to speak. And I said, well, first of all, it's your guidelines that you shouldn't ask someone to speak at the main meeting for 5 years after they spoke. I said, but I got to be honest with you. You should probably never ask me again. I'm pretty sure there's 1,000 people that can speak. I mean, listen, I would love to go to Icky Paw again. It's great. Like the opportunity to share your experience in front of all the young people, the sobriety countdown. So again, I'm not knocking the event, but I'm just saying if there's only... And, you know, a lot of the people in my position, and I don't know if I'm doing a good job explaining this, a lot of people in my position, if they're honest with themselves, you have to really practice humility. Because the truth is, I could just ride this wave and say yes every time and go all over the place and feel good, all that, but it's just not right. I mean, when we have so many people in AA, why should we hear the same people over and over and over again? The only way I leave a little bit of that of a leeway is, for example, and hopefully we catch up one day. And guys, I'm just sharing. Doesn't mean you have to agree with me. You could have a better idea than me. But, you know, when it comes to like the 12 concepts or the general service structure and you know, we're kind of learning some of that. So sometimes you got to repeat, you know, again, it doesn't have to be limited to 5 people. But, you know, sometimes there's a small group of people that you trust to do that. But hopefully, when we're having these workshops, the people in there are growing so that they could be the next workshop leaders and speakers, etc. But when it comes to sharing our experience, strength, and hope, there's really no reason that one individual should speak every weekend in the year. I mean, that makes us look bad, in my opinion. How anonymous should an A member be? We talk about that all the time. And you know, my mother is not in Alcoholics Anonymous. She's in Al-Anon, but I'll use this example. As you guys know, she's stage 4 small cell lung cancer right now, and a lot of people are going to visit her. And some of the people from her 12-step program don't know her last name, so how are they going to get in to see her? You can't just pop by the front desk, I see you, Brooke, and just say, I'm here to see Vicky. You know, it doesn't work that way. So, and by the way, that doesn't mean you need to go to an AA meeting and everybody needs to know your full name, your address, and your social security. It just does mean it's certainly okay as we develop, as we mature, as we're here for a while, to allow others to know our full name, our phone numbers, our addresses, stuff of that sort. Because the anonymity we're talking about is not to be secretive. What's the question, Brooke?
It says, I know you're good enough for every convention, but how do I tactfully handle the recording issue when the chair of the convention hasn't heard and the custom is to present the chair with recordings of the proposed speakers?
So, like I said, I just want to inspire conversation. And I want committees to ask themselves the question, ask themselves how many people in our own backyard are we missing, which, by the way, is creating division. Because I have a promise for you. I can promise you this. When you go to your convention, and even if it's a large convention and there's 1,000 people, when you have people that have served that area for 35 years, have sponsored hundreds of people, have gone to meetings every week since 1974, whatever it is, has done everything A has asked, has showed up, has given their life to this organization, and they are skipped by all the time. Again, it's not about that, but skipped by all the time. And here they are in their own backyard, never once asked to share. Or when there's a young person's convention that pops through your area, and you had someone who was a delegate, one of the youngest delegates ever in your area, has been involved in the young people community, has a lot to offer, and you skip right by that person who's in your backyard, I guarantee you, if they're honest with themselves, they're jealous. And they're also logically upset because you just spent $3,500 to bring Joe Schmo down from the Appalachian Adirondack onion harvesting, whatever, parts of North Carolina, Blue Ridge, whatever's, to share their story because they have a real funny story about sugarcane or something like that, you know, and then you're missing the person that's right here. I feel very strong about this, and I know I don't have a huge following on this topic, but I also know if you're honest with yourself, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we're making those people sick. And in turn, we're creating disunity. I didn't answer the question, Brooke. I'm good at that. So let me answer the question. What I was getting at with my pontification was, I really think we should have conversations. I am not interested, and I never was interested, even when I was a chair, I was on the program committee, of listening to someone's recording. I am interested in getting to know someone. I am interested in referrals. I am interested in references. I'll give you an example. I'm not saying you have to do this, but the way they pick their speakers at the International Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous is a certain staff desk connects with the delegates and asks the delegates to pick people within their area that think would be good on the topic. So there could be something along those lines. You could submit somebody. But again, we have to get over our fear of pseudo-spiritual to do that. Because if we're going to have a referral system, we have to allow people to say, have you worked the 12 steps? How long have you been involved in service? How long have you had a home group? Have you been involved in a service committee? I think it's okay to do those things, even though sometimes we feel like it's not okay to do that. So if you were referring to me, you know, whatever, D, Bob, and Carrie, and let's say Brooke was the referring person, I would say, well, here, get me some information on them and maybe get on the phone with them and make a friend. Have a conversation. But also, and I mean this, and again, I'm not saying stop. You should never bring in a speaker from somewhere. I don't want to go the opposite way with this, but But I just feel like if once in a while we pick someone right in our local backyard, it might be a better solution. I don't know how you get through the chairperson because I don't know your committee's guidelines. And if the chairperson wants to hear a recording, I mean, that's fine. It says in our big book that, you know, the common sense becomes uncommon sense. I'm very abnormal in 2024. I don't go with the mainstream. I'm not interested just because someone was funny and everyone knows him that we did a good job. I guess all I'm trying to say, guys, and I hope I'm doing a decent job with it, especially for those that are new at traditions, is if we create a second class, if we create a division that these group of people know more than these group of people, we've already watered down our message. Because sobriety has nothing to do with intelligence. Nothing, literally. And I just hate knowing that there's people that are sitting there that could share their experience, strength, and hope and really, you know, bring AA closer and bring them together, and we bypass it because we want to go with personalities. We want to go with household names. As a rule, the average newcomer wanted his family to know immediately what he was trying to do. He also wanted to tell others who had tried to help him, his doctor, his minister, and close friends. As he gained confidence, he felt it right to explain his new way of life to his employer and his business associates. When opportunities to be helpful came along, he found he could talk easily about AA to almost anyone. These quiet disclosures helped him to lose his fear of the alcoholic stigma and to spread the news of AA's existence in his community. Many a new man and woman came to AA as a result of such conversations. I think that's very important because, I think I owe Leslie on the call. I owe her an email. I wrote an article, as I talked about last week in 2015, the difference between anonymity, privacy, confidentiality. If you're at work and someone's suffering and you feel you could be helpful, it's certainly your right to disclose your membership. I don't even use the word break anonymity. I think we have to be very extreme in 2024 with all the misinformation about anonymity. But disclosing your membership to help carry the message is important. We don't break our anonymity. I don't go on the news and break my anonymity to help people. Anonymity being broke is something we're doing at the public level. But in other cases where you're a correctional officer, such as my sponsee, and it just really isn't the best thing 99.9% of the time to let all of those people in custody to know personal things about you because it could be used against you, there's ways to bring other people into the fold to make them accessible to help carry the message. Or I serve as sponsor to a nurse who had the opportunity to be in front of alcoholics all the time. And while she didn't want to disclose her membership, she asked, guess what? The committees. She asked the committees to come into the hospital. That's why we want to have conversations and communications and connections with committees. What is the spirit of anonymity? That's what all of these conversations are that we're talking about. The anonymity pledge. And I talked about it last week. The pamphlet, Understanding Anonymity, is really, really helpful with respects to tradition 11 and 12. But there's a difference between being at an open meeting and a closed meeting. When you're at an open meeting, it's supposed to be considered public, especially if you're on a virtual platform. And I've seen people in AA quote Dr. Bob and say, you know, we should know each other, so there's nothing wrong with saying your last name. And there's not when you put them in the phone. Even at the convention in Alabama this weekend, I'm connecting with people and getting phone numbers, and everybody's like W S E W V, and I'm like, can I have your last name? I don't know about you, but I got like 1,000 people in here, and I need to know which Chris I'm talking to, and you know, and I give them my name. Like, that's very different than being out you know, in a public level, whether that's at a high school doing a public information workshop or something of that sort, where you're going to just, you know, put your full name out there. It says very clearly here too, going from 133 into 134. The response to these meetings was warmly sympathetic. Soon groups began to receive requests for ACE speakers to appear before civic organizations, church groups, and medical societies. That's public information work. Provided reporters present were cautioned against the use of full names or pictures, the result was fine. I mean, I know that statement, I see you, Brooke, is a little outdated for what we're used to today. And with the exception of myself, there's probably only maybe one other person on this call that has actually dealt with reporters prior to conventions to make sure that they respect anonymity and given them information about what anonymity is and has written to news stations and stuff of that sort. So it's not something we do all the time. I get that. But the principle here is very clear. We don't use full name and we don't use pictures. So if we weren't doing it in 1950, why would we do it now? Brooke.
Okay, I have a couple. So, first one says, my home group requires the speaker to have been through the steps, is an active member of a home group, and can respect the 12 traditions, including singleness of purpose. We do ask these things, and if they don't, we don't have them speak. What we don't ask is their sobriety date. We also don't put how long sober they are on flyers. How do you feel about putting other info on flyers, like doctor, author, father, etc.?
I mean, if you want to stop the whole stardom and circuit speaker and personality, you don't put anything on the flyer. The truth is, including the group itself, when they're posting names, they usually want everyone to know, oh, we have the great, and please don't get offended, District 6, but we have the great so-and-so speaking. And I'm not declaring that they think I'm the great so-and-so, but I'm saying this is what we do sometimes. Hey, so-and-so is coming to our group. But in actuality, why do we need, I mean, I'm asking the group the question. Don't make me the answer, man. Why do we need the name? Why do we need to know that they're a doctor? Now, something that I would think is really interesting, come on over to Tuesday night and hear someone, hear a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 35 years in the program share. I'd be okay with that. But why does it have to say, Craig W., used to work at the General Service Office, 25 years sober? Like, what does that have to do with anything? Unless we're going to also add, kick the dog, didn't take out the trash. You know, let's put all of that in there. And by the way, I would never kick a dog. You guys know that. But I'm just saying, like, it's just, it's personality is the point I'm trying to say. I'm trying to be funny. So if you're buying into anything I'm saying, why do we need names on flyers anymore? And I'm going to share something with you personal. The reason I feel so strong about these things, I've been in AA 25 years. I've been all over the world. My mind does the very things I'm saying we need to be careful of. The more you put my name on the flyer, the more I'm like, why wasn't I asked to speak? And I'm not afraid to say that out loud. I'm not afraid to talk to you. I suffer from alcoholism, but I do have an 11-step and a 10-step where I don't need to succumb to that. But this is what we breed. How come he's always asked? Why is he asked? Like, why is that necessary? So just a thought. Next question.
It says, in regards to anonymity and a member in service at the district, do you think it's appropriate we post last names and addresses on our printed agendas? Question mark. Some people at my district have said it's important for archives. I personally don't want my address or last name printed on paper for all to see with Alcoholics Anonymous for archives. Yeah. Hey, Mom. Yep.
I got you. So, yeah. Again, I'm going to do what we do in AA. I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. So, some of you know I facilitate a lot of inventories. And recently, I was responsible because this was a very intimate setting for one particular area. So I didn't bring a secretary in. So I was the chairperson and the secretary at the same time. And I was taking the notes. And I literally, before I was sending the notes out, I was like, you got to put on there the facilitator was Craig W. And then I was like, why? It was a facilitator. That's all they need to know. That's not even the reason we're meeting. We're not meeting for a name. And then my head was like, but it needs to be in the archives. And then my head was like, no, it doesn't. And then my alcoholism kicked in and said, well, what about your legacy? What don't you want people all – somebody's going to see your name in I won't say the state, such and such state one day. And then I really just took a pause and asked myself, like, not only is that extremely arrogant and not only is it extremely unnecessary, but I feel free when I don't need to be on the paper. Now, don't confuse me, guys. If I'm in the room with you and I serve on a committee with you and I had a really hard year, but I showed up every week and I put all my effort in and I helped create some change. Sure, for the 5 minutes at the main meeting, it would be nice if someone said thank you for all your effort because I should be thanking you for your effort. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't need to be on every document. I don't need to have my name say Craig W. on an inventory when the inventory is about the group learning how to grow versus who the facilitator was. But this is what we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. Names on flyers, names on paperwork, names in archives, names. It's just, to me, it's not necessary. And there are some cases when it is, but even then, a last name is not necessary. And certainly an address is not necessary. When I take minutes, I don't put any names. But if there was rare situations where we needed the names, like if we were a 501c3 and it had to do with legal purposes and needing to have minutes and all that stuff, it would say Craig, it would say Brooke, it would say D. That's all.
Okay, so I didn't type this out, but it's a question that I'm asking because last week, and it's kind of carried over from last week, but I want you maybe to say it again, why it's so important is why we don't list like service resumes, we'll say, for instance, on a district or an area or like a website to drive traffic because maybe our district doesn't get the same traffic that GSO or AA.org gets, but we don't do those things because it's literally the worst thing that we can do, right? Is that why it's not done? Like if we say we're having Craig W. speaking for District 6 and this is his service resume, it would gain traction. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making sense. I'm just trying to remember what I said last week. You said that I said something last week, and I don't know what I said.
Well, the question was posed differently, and it was a conversation had after everyone had left.
Oh, I see. But okay, so what if it was just a one-line question, Brooke? What would it be?
Why we don't put people's service resumes on a flyer or that they're going to be the speaker of a workshop, I guess we'll say.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I already.
Traction.
Yeah. I think I would want traction more on where the AA dollar is going on the district website. I would want traction more on what committee work is being done, where to find a group, how a professional can get in touch with a committee. I would want to drive traffic more with that than I would. I mean, think about what we're saying out loud for a second. We are putting the super speaker over all of the work we do in AA. Mm-hmm. And that's happening. There's 3,500 districts in the U.S. and Canada. That's happening at probably 75% of them. There's a district website right now, literally right now, which says the most famous AA speakers, the best AA speakers. I mean, I don't know how. I don't want to belittle other AA entities either. But I mean, we're just on different planets. Because if you and I were sitting one on one, sponsor to sponsee, even if I'm the leader of all circuit speaker rings, when I'm sitting down with my sponsor, we're talking about how ego and arrogance can kill me. We're talking about how I'm a vessel and I'm humble. And if it wasn't for God, I won't be where I am. If it wasn't for the group, I won't be where I am. But that's not what I'm doing. There's a razor's edge between confidence and cocky. I am very confident that I can share my experience no matter what the topic or principle is in AA, and somebody will get something out of it. But the reason I'm so confident is because I also believe if you did the same, it would happen too. It's not arrogance. I didn't say I'm the best. I just know you will get something out of it because that's the way AA works. I can pick anyone in any one of these squares. You could be monotone. You could be the most boring job in the world, whatever. I'm trying to paint a picture here. But you share your story, open and honest with me, I am going to get something out of it. And that's the message of AA. One alcoholic sharing experience, strength, and hope. Doesn't matter if you're popular, if you're tall, if you're short, if you're black, Hispanic, white, Latin, none of that. One alcoholic sharing experience, strength, and hope. And that's what the 12th tradition is all about. And that's why it talks about on page 134, talks about the difference of a self-appointed leader and a leader. And it talks about 100% anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. We disguise it as being helpful. We disguise it as being helpful. And it's tricky, right? Because I can't speak for the world. I can't speak for every person. But I can speak for myself. And there would never be a reason for me up until this day. I could be wrong. But there would never be a reason for me to have to go on TV and talk about what I'm doing in AA. Never. In fact, that would be more hurtful than harmful. Including all the people that knew how crazy I was if they were watching TV. And they were like, wow, that's Craig? It would still be more hurtful than helpful. Giving up natural desires. If you're an alcoholic like me, you will relate to this. It is my natural desire to be number one. It is my natural desire to be the best. It's not a secret desire either. I want to be number one. I want to be the best. And I have to give that up. Not only for my sobriety, but for the common welfare. Doesn't mean when I get on a basketball court, I can't compete. We're just talking about with respects to AA. On page 135, about three quarters down, Alcoholics Anonymous has a principle called anonymity. No public big shots allowed. No public big shots allowed. No public big shots allowed. We know that AA can't be run like show business, no matter what the short-term benefits may be. We know that AA can't be run like show business, no matter what the short-term benefits may be. AA saved my life and my career. Therefore, the future welfare of Alcoholics Anonymous is more important to me than any publicity that I can get as an AA member. This is hard stuff because it has to redesign the way we do everything. And guess what? Every time I share this, again, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like, oh, man, they're not going to ask me to speak next time. Oh, man. But it's still better. And that's why I understand this, because it's still my natural desire to want to come back. And that's okay. But it's so convenient, and especially in my experience since COVID, to just grab a bag of popcorn, project the Zoom onto the big screen, and sit back and watch something like it's a movie. And there's nothing wrong with popcorn, by the way. And there's nothing wrong with watching on a big screen. But remember, we are supposed to participate. That's the principle. We don't want a Messiah. And I know some of us want to be led, and that's fine. And some of us want to be leaders, and that's fine. But we need to constantly have conversations of how we can improve that. Otherwise, we end up having these same pockets. Here's some questions I ask myself and sponsees as we're trying to wrap up here. Do I want traditions for myself as well as for AA as a whole? Those are just words. But when you spend some quiet time really asking yourself, do I want traditions for myself and for as well as AA as a whole? What's the answer? Do I want to obey because I want them for myself as well as AA as a whole? Therefore, each of our 12 traditions is really an expression of deflation, that each of us has to take the sacrifice that we shall all have to make in order to live and work together. And then do I really want to obey the traditions? Why? Why don't I want the traditions? Why do I want the traditions? Greatest speaker, I know I'm running out of time here, I'm trying to be quick. Greatest speaker I ever heard in my life was a woman with 30 years in my home group. She was the quarterly service speaker meeting. And she shared openly and honestly with us why she never went to district service. Because she was afraid to admit she didn't know. She was afraid to admit she didn't know what that service manual was. She was afraid to say, she was afraid to ask for help. She was afraid to say that everyone else in the room knew what was happening and she didn't want to say that she didn't know. So she didn't get involved in AA service for years. And think about how many alcoholics did not get help because she couldn't admit that she didn't know. That's who we are. Don't forget it. That's who we are. Which is why we need these principles. Which is why we need rotation. Which is why principles come before personality. And I'll just end with self-effacement. And that's what Bob did with respects to not wanting to be on a gravestone. Self-effacing is a big principle of sacrifice and anonymity. And I know this tradition isn't necessarily the sexiest, but it's so important. It's so important to take the hard step and to remove myself and welcome the group. So thank you, everybody, for the opportunity.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.